My tall grass motors. We'll talk things over with Senator Julie Daniels coming up in just a moment.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing. There is an easier way. Tall Grass Motors. Tall Grass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tall Grass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tall Grass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tall Grass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
And our community connection brought to you by Tall Grass Motors and by Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma. Spending a little bit of time this morning on a community connection with Senator Julie Daniels. Senator, I know you're in town this morning, but typically you would be probably busy with committee work in the state Senate. Good morning, ma'am. How are you today?
Well, good morning, Charlie. Good morning, Bartlesville and the listening area. Yes, as this is spring break week in so many parts of Oklahoma, the Senate was in session Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. The House was in session Monday and Tuesday. I came home a day early, but I did have a judiciary meeting on Tuesday, so I think maybe we were the first committee to meet in the Senate and start to hear the House bills that have come over, because now we're in that second phase of the legislative session where all the Senate bills go to the House and the House bills come to us. And it's a manageable number. I think it's just over 300. So we may make quicker work of the committee work on the House bills than we did with our own Senate ones.
Well, you have the advantage in that the House has already done a lot of the triage, the sorting of those bills, and only sent you the ones that are passed out of committee and passed through the House House floor. So you get a pre-digested look as opposed to all the bills that were filed when you started looking at Senate bills.
That's correct. And some of these are identical bills. We spoke of one yesterday that I authored and sent over to the House. Sometimes you keep two vehicles going just in case something comes up that you need to add. But anyway, a lot of these duplicate bills, obviously only one of them will make it through to the end unless they both fail.
Or but they could theoretically also both pass, and then a decision would have to be made, or conceivably a conference committee to say, okay, this one is worded better than that one or something like that.
Well, that's right. When the title's off, a conference committee, but we passed a big cleanup bill yesterday in the Senate, which after every legislative session, the staff goes through and they find all the conflicting laws that have been passed. They conflict with each other or they conflict with things on statute. And you pass a huge bill where you make all of these things flow together and you repeal duplicates. So there's always cleanup work to do after a legislative session. Unintended consequences of the good ideas that we all have and that we get passed.
And that makes for real interesting reading, because I think that it says on bill such and such, paragraph 2, subparagraph A, line 1, delete the word the or something like that.
It's one of those bills where you look at the people in the chamber and say, I would be glad to go through this bill page by page. And they look at you terrified, and you usually then don't get too many questions after that.
Well, you are headed to the White House later this week to be part of a group there. I assume, based on what I've been told, that you could be there actually for a signing of an executive order, but nonetheless, to my words, not yours, ensure the First Amendment rights of students on university campuses.
Well, yes, timing is everything, Charlie. This is a complete coincidence that my colleague and friend Mark LaPack of Claremore and I are both working on this Senate bill that I've already got passed on protecting free speech on our Oklahoma college campuses and our career tech campuses, all of higher ed. And the president is very interested in this issue as well. He has this proposed executive order to tie the receipt of federal research dollars, which of course are very important, particularly to our two major universities in Oklahoma, tie that to what he sees as a positive action to protect First Amendment rights of students. So I imagine this is a Rose Garden ceremony. I think there are a couple of hundred invitees. It's at 3:00 tomorrow. I imagine that legislators from other states who have been doing this same work will be there. I know quite a few university students will be there. And how often do you get an opportunity to go to the White House and be part of something that's timely? It's important to me as the Senate author of this bill, and it ought to be important to all Oklahomans and all Americans that we do not diminish and dilute our First Amendment rights by failing to nurture them and protect them.
Well, certainly Dr. Piper has talked a lot about First Amendment rights on college campuses. Colleges used to be a free exchange of ideas up to the point that you could see on any given day, whether it's in the University Union or out on the lawn someplace, a demonstration, somebody handing out pamphlets, somebody making an impromptu speech, or just a student rally. When I was in college, it was Vietnam, but the point is, there were always things going on with a free exchange of ideas on the university campus.
Exactly. And sometimes that free exchange of ideas can be tense. Sometimes it can be noisy. Sometimes it can be unkind. But we have to be very careful to protect free speech, even that which we find offensive, because otherwise, again, you will start to erode, which we've already done, free speech rights. And you may not realize it until much later, what you have given up, and then trying to get it back is very difficult. And you are correct. Some of the things you and I experienced on campus in the 70s now have to be protected. We have to pass a bill in a state legislature to uphold the First Amendment, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution. It's really a sad day, but if we can do it and shake people out of this doldrum that they think everything's okay and university officials always know best and all children, all students, all young people must always be kind to each other. And if you're not kind, you can't talk. It's really beyond the pale that we should have to take this action. But Senate Bill 361 does this in a very concise and clear way. So I'm certainly hoping to get it passed here. We know that Kentucky recently passed it. Arkansas passed it a session or two ago. South Carolina and Texas are considering it. And one more thing about it, a similar version was passed, I'm going to say, in recent years in Arizona. And Arizona, University of Arizona, is now using it as a recruiting tool. You come to our university, and we will see that you can express your ideas freely on our campus. So having been rather against having to take on orienting students and the campus community about what their free speech rights are and how to exercise them, now we have a university seeing this as a positive to recruit students to their university because they can have that free exchange of a diversity of ideas, which is what a college education is all about.
And First Amendment historically, the privilege, whether it's to stand on the street corner and express ideas which frequently are unpopular, or the freedom of expression through a free press, to publish news and opinion pieces, to again provoke thought one way or the other. It's important.
Well, and also that freedom of association, which goes along with the freedom of speech, student groups being able to speak. And then one part that's not in my bill is the protection of religious student organizations, because Oklahoma passed that in 2014. Other states have combined those, but we already took this action. So the legislature and the people of Oklahoma are more aware than perhaps the citizens of some states how important these things are and how they must be safeguarded.
We're talking with Senator Daniels and previewing her trip to Washington, D.C. for that Rose Garden ceremony. And we'll look at some other legislative ideas as we continue a community connection on 1400 in just a moment.
Announcing the new Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma. Two of Oklahoma's premier orthopedic experts, Central State Orthopedics and Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, EOC, have now merged to become Oklahoma's premier orthopedic healthcare expert, Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, PLLC. So if you're in need of back surgery, knee, or hip replacement, call the specialist at Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, 918-494-9300. Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma now offers the best orthopedic care in the state, and I should know. It's where I had my back surgery. So whether you're in need of back surgery, hip or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, located in the Natalie Building at 65th and Yale. Call 918-494-9300. Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma.
Continuing a community connection on 1400 K1, talking with Senator Julie Daniels this morning. The legislative process continues. You made a little bit of news earlier this week on, and I'm going to generically just refer to it as property rights, but being able to hold on to whether it's water rights or mineral rights, or other things that maybe in other states they don't necessarily look at immediately when we talk property rights.
Well, that's correct. Again, another very important constitutional right. Property rights have a lot to do with our individual liberty and freedom. I took on a bill that passed handily in the House that had to do with eminent domain and making sure that a property owner's groundwater rights do not get taken as part of an eminent domain action unless the property owner agrees to let them be taken. We already sever mineral rights from surface rights. Water is a precious resource. We in Bartlesville know from our water supply issues and that drought of almost 20 years ago how critically important they are, not only to agriculture, but to municipal issues and therefore economic development, that a landowner who has part of his or her surface property taken, but maybe they're still operating an agricultural business adjacent to that, or perhaps some of that groundwater is being used for municipal reasons or uses in a nearby town, if the government authority takes those groundwater rights as well, they may very well be able to build their road, but they have severely compromised the livelihood and the sustainability of everyone around them. So that is why I'm happy to run this bill. I think it's quite simple and straightforward. But the Turnpike Authority and the Department of Transportation are agonizing over it. I took the title off so that we could continue discussions, but I am firmly in favor of protecting these groundwater rights. And so it'll be an interesting negotiation.
Well, certainly, at least I would expect eminent domain action to be an action of last resort for government. Hopefully, they've already tried other negotiated or I'll just say friendly means to work out some settlement to use or buy property. But it's certainly, would that add one step judicially or anything to eminent domain proceedings? How is that going to work?
I believe, in reading, if the property owner has to give permission to have the groundwater rights taken along with the land, I would think that would be part of a contractual agreement between the state or the city and the property owner. I don't believe that the property owner wouldn't have to defend or take action in court to preserve the right. Now, if the government entity is attempting to get the groundwater rights for some reason, that could be a court proceeding. But my knowledge of water law is limited, so I don't want to go there and say something that's not quite correct.
Okay. What else is on your plate, Senator? I know that, again, like you said, committee work coming over from the House, a whole new set of bills that will be on your plate as a committee chair.
Well, there's another one that got some news after our meeting on Tuesday, and that is one to protect agricultural operations from extraordinary punitive damages in nuisance lawsuits. Again, we believe that in Oklahoma we appreciate the oil and gas industry, the agriculture industry, but they are ripe targets for legal action in which the goal may be to get monetary remuneration and not necessarily to cure a nuisance. So what's happening, particularly out in North Carolina, is a lot of small hog farm operations have been sued in federal court where the jury of your peers probably has no connection to agriculture. In fact, I've read some articles this morning that anybody connected to agriculture wasn't allowed on the jury, so that the nuisance findings against these hog farm operators and then the punitive damages essentially put them out of business because their livestock being provided by a large agricultural operation, essentially putting the pigs in these small family farms and not these great big massive ag operations like you have in the panhandle of Oklahoma with Seaboard. And so when the big ag company gets hit with these multi-million dollar punitive damages, they pull the livestock out. They can no longer afford to operate in North Carolina. So it's protective, it's preemptive. We aren't the only state needing to consider it. There are a lot of people who want to have food on their table, but they don't want agricultural operations to function. Well, you can't have food unless you have agriculture. The same way you can't put fuel in your car or in the jet engine of an airplane without the oil and gas industry. So it has become a problem. And this one is backed by numerous agricultural-related organizations in Oklahoma, including the Farm Bureau. I was speaking with their representative yesterday right after the committee meeting. Also the State Chamber of Commerce and the Federation of Independent Business. These are small business owners we're talking about.
Right.
And we want a well-rounded, healthy economy in Oklahoma. So I'm happy to carry this bill as well, although, again, it's going to be somewhat controversial.
Yeah, hog confinement operations, large or small, carry their own unique circumstances, but certainly it seems as though that some allowances can be made for what is, I'll say, just a normal part of that phase of agriculture, and we're talking about it during National Agriculture Week, so it's appropriate.
Well, that's right, and one other thing about one of those lawsuits is one of the ladies who sued her neighbor, they had been neighbors for years and years. They were friends. But they came in and said, we will declare this part of your neighbor's operations a nuisance. It won't cost him anything, and you will make some money. Now, to me, that's wrong. To me, that's immoral. But that's the way it works. And let's take it one step further. If you can get a damages for the nuisance of the smell or the dust from a small hog farm operation, how long before you come into town and you don't like what your neighbor spraying on his vegetable garden, or you don't like the dust from somebody's lawnmower? And people say it would never happen. But once you establish a precedent in law, the next stage is to go to the next stage and find some other action to file. So it really does affect all of us in the end. And I think it's important to try and get ahead of these things as we look around the United States to see what's happening in other states.
Well, there certainly is enough ample examples of unintended consequences of probably good intentioned laws or rulings that certainly have if this, then that, and we found ourselves 5 miles down the road with something different.
That's right. That's right. Charlie, did you know we already have our first medical marijuana lawsuit?
I'm not surprised, but no, I didn't know it. I don't always keep track of what I assume is a civil lawsuit. What's going on?
Well, it was in the news this morning. The former lawyer for the Department of Health is representing, I think, a nurse who works in the Paseo District of Oklahoma City, and she's claiming that the Unity bill that we just passed is overly broad, and because she's a nurse, she's a safety-sensitive position, so there are certain restrictions on her medical marijuana use, and that there's too many powers in the Medical Marijuana Authority. Of course, they haven't even written the rules yet. But I anticipated lawsuits, but I had no idea one would be filed the week after the governor signed the bill. We were hoping, again, that we could let the dust settle and let this start to work. But we'll just have to see how it goes. Because this was a statutory change, State Question 788, I believe the courts will give the state great leeway here. But I don't know the specifics of her action.
Well, I thought maybe it was in correlation with a report that I heard on Bloomberg this morning for some individuals who are daily marijuana users, which, and this, again, came out of a study that had already been ongoing for some time, that apparently there was a whole new set of disease conditions that were coming along. I don't remember the whole, I hadn't planned on talking about it, but there was either a lowered immunity or something of that ilk that accompanied persons who were daily marijuana users for a number of years. So I thought that may be where you were going.
That's very interesting. We're all going to learn a lot more about marijuana and its appropriate or inappropriate uses.
Okay, well, that's certainly is something we're going to have to learn, at least partly through experience. Senator Daniels, thank you so much for your time. I know, will you be available Friday for Capitol Call, or you will still be out of town?
I will be flying back on Friday, so I will leave that to my esteemed colleagues from the House to take care of, and maybe you and I can talk tomorrow afternoon after this event is over. Like I said, we don't know what to expect, but I want to thank everybody for letting me serve in the Senate. Obviously, I wouldn't be going to the White House if I didn't get to serve in the Senate, if I didn't get to run this bill on free speech. All these things are connected, and I'm humbled and honored to be able to do this job. Thank everybody who calls and writes. Had some students and teachers visiting on Tuesday. I talked to my friend or emailed my friend Chad Nightingale this morning on some wildlife issues. I just really appreciate how knowledgeable the people of District 29 are and how willing they are to help me do my job better. So everybody have a great day. I hope it's a sunny day. And if it's a rainy day, we'll take that too, Charlie.
We sure will. I hope to see news pictures on various national publications, somewhere of a Northeast Oklahoma face as part of a Rose Garden ceremony. Thank you very much, Senator.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you. Senator Julie Daniels with us this morning on a Community Connection on AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1. More coming up in just a moment. Community Connection brought to you by Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma and Tall Grass Motors.
So many people don't keep their word.